Welcome to the Maniac Audio Program. Good morning, Internet. Here we are today with another edition of Maniac Audio Program. Killing it, doing what we do, living in the present, preparing for the future, I guess. Sometimes, you know. I mean, fuck it, do what you want. Life is short. You gotta fucking do what you can and live well. Today is Friday, January 22nd, and I skipped over Thursday, January 21st for the You Are a Badass calendar, but we're going to do it anyway. I'm going to read that real quick because I think it's pretty clever here. January 21st, Thursday says, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible, which I like. I like that. That's a cool way to go about things. That's pretty clever. And that was said by Audrey Hepburn, who is known as an actress, icon, and I like this one, a fabulist. I would like to consider myself a fabulist, of all things. Ooh, and we got a coloring page. What do you know? I think I'll color that for later. All right, so. Today, January 22nd. It's Friday. Happy Friday, you motherfuckers. January 22nd, you are a badass. Few things light up the human heart like helping and bringing joy to others. Trust in the fact that when you're well taken care of financially, you'll be even more poised and inspired to spread the love. I always think about that. I always think, like, man, honestly, my goal in life as of right now is to make sure that I can get enough cash flow and make enough money where I can take care of myself, my family, and, you know, be able to have, you know, like just that good buffer, you know. I'd say live comfortably, but I don't want to, like, I'm in order to live comfortably. I think people don't realize in order to live comfortably, you have to become uncomfortable and do things that aren't comfortable. Not necessarily, you know, like, do terrible things. I mean, like, you have to, like, work and, like, get out of a comfort zone. That's that's a big thing. But also, I want to be able to give back to people, you know. And I think that's within all of us. I think all of us are there. It's just our survival instincts and our, you know, self-preservation definitely gets in the way, and that's not, like, necessarily a bad thing. I mean, we're all there. But yeah, I agree with this. So, like, helping, bring joy to others. Trust in the fact that when you're well taken care of financially, you'll be even more poised and inspired to spread the love. And I agree with that. I totally fucking agree with that. I truly sit down and think, wow. Like, to actually be able to give to people and to help out, you know, people who might be in need, you know, that's important. You know, but of course, you got to make sure you're taking care of first. I mean, what's that? What's the saying for, you know, like when you're on an airplane, right? You know, what do you do? Do you help the child first? No, you help yourself first. You gotta take care of yourself before you can help others. Because if you're helping others before you take care of yourself, you're fucked. You're gonna be drained, you know? It's an interesting concept. Never really thought of it, but I like it. I knew ya. But I think we're gonna move on to a new segment I like to call the Cat Daddy Chronicleizations of Life, and there's no real name for it, but I'm going to do the Cat Dad Stories. Let's do this. Hey, I'm a cat dad. Hey, I'm a cat dad. Hey, I'm a cat dad in my stories. All right. So, you know, this is kind of a new thing, but I kind of want to include things about, you know, my baby kitties, because I love them. I'm a very proud cat dad. And what I've realized is that what makes me a cat person is I have a preference more for hanging out with old people. Not that I necessarily seek out, you know, going, you know, hanging out with old people. But what I'm trying to say is that to me, you know, your preference in, like, who you gravitate to more and who you see as more of a, like, how you treat people, you know, depending on their age. So, like, for instance, I always see, like, dogs as, you know, like children, right? And generally people do go and they go and get their dogs and they're like, oh, we're practicing for a kid. Because a cat is not that way. A cat is more self-sufficient. And what I've realized is that cats are like old people, you know? They can be cranky. They have their own personalities that are just built in. They're very set in their ways. Once they have their way, it's their way. There's no snapping them out of it. You know, they have a very distinct personality that can change at any moment. I mean, I'm talking like these are like old people that are kind of like, you know, not really all there. But yeah, that's how I feel. I don't know. It's not really specific, I guess. I feel like, old, you know, like they are just generally like cats are more like old people. Dogs are more like kids. And I've noticed that more and more with my babies, with my Luna and my Panda. But also, I've realized that Panda is more like a dog. Honestly, he ends up more like a dog oftentimes. He's a bit of a coward. He's definitely, like, scared of everything. So he's, you know, running and under the bed as soon as there's a knock on the door and there's a stranger coming in. He's definitely like, uh-uh. But he is definitely like, he loves to fetch. I always play fetch with him. It takes like longer than like a dog would. Like a dog would bring back a stick and be like, here you go. Or you'd have to fight him. But like, you know, Panda like will find it. He might bring it back depending, but he'll usually bring it back for me, whatever I'm throwing. And he's usually little mice. One thing I've also noticed is that cats, I mean, like, do they really play with, like, bigger toys? It depends when they're ready. You know, I kind of find that, like, they like little things, like little, like, mice, little bottle caps, you know. They don't really give a shit about, you know, they just don't give a shit about, what is it? Bigger toys. They don't give a shit. But, yeah. So, that's, you know, what I've realized so far. You know, we still haven't taken our Christmas tree down. I know it's crazy. That's an even bigger story. Maybe I'll talk about that in a minute. Still haven't taken our Christmas tree down. And they like to eat the fake needles. And they recently have been puking those up. And that's been great. Sarcasm fully intended. But it is what it is. Cats. Love those cats. Anyway, thank you for checking out the Cat Chronicles. Guess we'll go on to the next segment here. Talk about a recent project I've been working on. I work on a lot of projects at the same time. I've started turning Parasite Party Boy into a comic, which is pretty slow moving, of course, but I'm still working very hard to get it to be more of a regular thing and to, you know, create more imagery that involves, you know, Parasite Party Boy in all these situations, and also speaking to the, directly to the audience, which I think is more of a thing that would benefit him. I feel like he's definitely more of like, because he has an actual story, I've thought of an actual story for him, but I don't want to just, you know, confine him to a story like that. He's not meant to be confined to any kind of certain story. He's not meant to be just, you know, placed down into a narrative, you know, and has to adhere to that. Like, he's a creature who lives beyond all of us. So let me explain more actually about Parasite Party Boy and what he is. So that way anybody who's wondering what the fuck is going on and what he is, and like, let me just put it out to you, right? So Parasite Party Boy, and I'm also going to illustrate, you know, more of what's going on here, and you'll be able to be like, oh, okay, okay. So Parasite Party Boy, the parasite that is on Party Boy's head, came from this massive race of, you know, parasites that was created in a laboratory designed by some unknown figure. And he built these parasites to start kind of causing a ruckus, you know, in the universe and taking over planets and just making shit go down. And I always, like, looked at it and I thought, like, this could be interesting because what happens is, all right, so here's what happens, all right? Our parasite that we're following, he has a bit of a genetic mutation. So by the time these parasites mature and become full-grown parasites ready to go out and take over brains, they have a sort of biological a biological structure, you know, within them that allows them to take over, you know, the host and not really necessarily be able to feel any of the host's sensations, you know, like, because they take over the host and they gain full control of that body. But what they want, you know, what he wants the parasites to do is take control of the body and use them for the same purposes. Like, just make the parasites, like, let's say this, like, so, like, you know, like, the parasite takes over you, and now the parasite is controlling your body, is utilizing your arms, your legs, everything, you know, as a weapon, whatever. So, you know, that's, like, the one purpose. It's the one purpose is to, like, utilize these parasites and create armies, take over armies, you know, and make weapons that will adhere to his, you know, to this guy's, you know, will. So our parasite had a bit of a biological, you know, issue. So he goes in and he begins to feel the emotions of our party boy, of our host. He begins to feel the sensations of the world. He begins to feel pain. He begins to feel pleasure. And he realizes, like, why would they want us to not, like, why did he want us to not do this, you know? And, you know, he's so, obviously, like, these parasites, they're designed and they're raised and they're brainwashed to believe certain things. So he's like, what the hell? So, you know, he begins to go out and just live thousands of lives. And I say, you know, thousands, maybe millions of lives, you know, like, I say, like, he just lives multiple lives. He goes out, he starts to just experience things. And the world that they take over is kind of like parallel to ours. It's not really ours, but it has a lot of the same things. There's, you know, a lot of the same foods, a lot of the same pop culture things that happen, you know. It's just, they're a little different species, you know, these kinds of humans. And, you know, he's able to affect the genital structure of the host. It's very, you know, but this is why it's, like, very cartoony, so it's not generally, like, meant to have a certain, like, set of rules. Like, the rules aren't really, like, too important. There are rules, but, I mean, it's not really meant to be anything crazy. So, you know, I've been working on that, and I've been lately trying to think of, like, okay, I'm going to do a Parasite Party Boy where there is, where he's making pasta from scratch. And that's going to be a fun one. I think that one's going to be, like, the ultimate. Because I got a little bit of surprise about the pasta. I know it seems kind of weird, but I got a surprise about it. It's going to be fun. He tries to make pasta from scratch. I think that's going to be cool. Anyway, yeah. And I've also been trying to animate this guy. Like, this is what I've really been trying to do. Is trying to animate Parasite Party Boy and make him something cool. But it's a little difficult. It's not, and you know what's not even difficult? It's not even difficult. It's more like it's just tedious, you know? Like, there's a lot that I have to do, and I have to stick with it to learn it. And I want to, like, keep learning it and keep doing it, and I have to be smart about it. I think I have to learn how to be smart about this and maybe just keep things simpler in the meantime, you know, because I see somebody like Meat Canyon and Sick Animation, you know, and like their animation is very good, but they keep it very simple. They're smart about it, you know. They don't try to make this like crazy amount of bullshit that, you know, to show off. They just make, and they also do good writing and good jokes, you know. So I kind of want to implement that and utilize that and keep things short and sweet and simple. That way, you know, Parasite Party Boy comes in hot. So that's one of the projects I'm working on. So you know, keep an eye out for that and check it out. Maybe you'll find something you like. So, I've been in the midst of an annual Sly Cooper trilogy replay. I do this every year, and I started it early. And I'm going through the first game, and I'm already in, like, the fourth world. I unfortunately blew a fuse because I had two of my systems on at the same time. I forgot that happens. But I forgot to turn the other one off. I thought I was going to go back. I don't know what I was thinking. It was just like, oops. Oops. Happens. But, so I'm in the midst of this playthrough, and I'm realizing, like, how interestingly structured the first game is, and, like, kind of how, like, why this game is actually so fucking good. The first game really just, the Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus is a fucking masterpiece, and I think you should fucking play it. Find a PlayStation 3 and play it. Find a way to play it. Also, Sony, what the fuck? Take the three PS2 trilogies, the original fucking trilogies, and put them on modern systems, for fuck's sake. Just fucking do it. Really, please, for the love of fuck. Because, like, you're denying modern players the experience of, you know, these masterpieces that just, you know, like, they have no right existing. But, yeah, so Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus, there is a world, the third world is, like, this horrible, a combination of horrible and horrifying. Excuse me. So, yeah, the concept of this whole game, like, you go to the first world, it's kind of like a pirate world, but it doesn't really, like, it's not really, like, pirate, like, obsessive, like, it's not really, like, too overtly pirate, which I appreciated. You know, it's like, you can't even tell, it's just a rainy kind of area where there's lots of, like, boats and other seafaring charm to it, you know, but it's also very, like, dingy. It's really interesting, really cool. And if you've never played Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus, combat is funny because, you know, it's like these one hit creatures. You know, the enemies are just one hit, and they're gone. So the combat's kind of like whatever. There is a lot of challenge involved with this game, honestly, because it's like one hit kills. So, you know, you kind of like have to really do well. For me, what I like to do is I like to make sure that I do well in the first two worlds and, you know, gather up a bunch of my lives, gather up a bunch of coins to keep the coin counter going. So that way I can continue getting lucky charms and shit like that and maintain all that. So with Sly Cooper, and you know, like by the third story, the third world, we are, and not an actual third world, I'm talking like the third world in the game, we end up in a swamp, and it's like, I think it's in Louisiana is what it, like, it's like kind of plays like on, you know, like I said again, if you never played it, you know, they actually use like real world places, and they kind of do like, you know, playful little things, like there's anthropomorphic animals involved. It's pretty cool. It's crazy. It's fun. But the third world you get to is a horror show. It's all about voodoo and shit, and it's very creepy, very intense. This is where the challenge really goes up, because like you will die and deal with a lot of like fast-paced shit, like especially if you're like me, you want to get like all the clue bottles. Like that's what I try to do. I try to get all the clue bottles. You will find yourself in a lot of losing places when you do that in the third world, Miss Ruby's lair. It's pretty intense. And I get there and it's like, what the fuck? And I realize like the fourth world is great because it's not as hard. It's not as challenging. It's just, it definitely has like more challenge to it. There's definitely more like enemies involved. There's definitely a lot that, you know, they utilize to, you know, throw curveballs at you. However, what's special about it is that it is very much a cooldown level. The difficulty definitely does go down in this area because the previous area is such a fucking stress heap. And also, the third area has the worst fucking boss battle of all time. I play in the PS3 version, so if you don't know, and if you do know, it's the audio to this boss battle is fucked. So everything about it is just, it's just completely fucked. It's not in sync, not in rhythm, so you have to fucking just guess and hope. And it fucks with you. So I realized what works is that if you're mashing the buttons that are coming at you, you'll definitely get through it. So I got through the boss battle a lot faster this time than I normally would. Like, I remember before I would, like, spend constant, like, time trying to get through this fucking boss battle of this fucking kids game. So, yeah. But I totally recommend this game. I'm already in the fourth world of the first game, and then I'm going to be hitting up the second game, going through that. And I would stream this stuff, but I'm playing on my PlayStation 3. Doesn't have Twitch streaming, and I don't have a setup for it. So, you know, it is what it is. Definitely more of a personal thing. But I'd love to be set for next year to do it. That would be fun. Either way, that's what's going on right now. So I suggest everybody check out Sly Cooper if you haven't. If you don't know what the fuck it is. If you want to really explore a fascinating and amazing series that came out later in the PlayStation 2 era. I don't think much later. It just came out later in the kind of like mascot world, so to say. Like, you know, you had Ratchet and Clank and Jack and Daxter. Kind of came around at the same time. And, you know, they kind of kept up with each other. And Sly Cooper was kind of like just trailing behind a bit. You know, and was catching up. And then by like the third, it was kind of a big message of like, you know, out with the old and with the new. It was interesting, you know. And Sly Cooper, if you don't know, Sly Cooper, that series was done by the guys who have done the most recently released Ghost of Tsushima, which was a good game. Not my favorite thing. I was definitely let down a little bit. But they fucking killed it, so it was just more of a personal thing. But they definitely killed it with that game, and they kill it all the time. I think they're a very underrated company. So, check it out. Fucking get your research on, get your PlayStation 3 on, get or PlayStation 2, whatever, get it on and play Sly Cooper. Go enjoy it. It's awesome. I'll be updating this more. So, see you. All right, well, getting started on some commission projects. Remember, guys, if you want any commissions from me, be they illustrations, I'm starting to work on getting better at animation so I can probably provide something for people who might need some simple animation stuff done. Definitely up for that. So doing commissions. Make sure you check out my store, check out my Patreon, follow my Twitch. I mean, there's just all this shit that I'm, putting on display, so you can help support what I got going on here. We can build a community. I do have a Discord, and I want to start inviting people more to kind of chat and talk about, anything, life and art and excitement, whatever else. You know what I mean? So come check it out. Come see what's up in the Maniac world. The main hub you'll find a lot of this shit is Instagram. So make sure you check me out. Check out the Instagram is main.ee.ac, Maniac. Literal spelling, I guess you could say. But come check it out. Come see all this shit. And yeah, if you like what's going on, please, please offer support. And support doesn't need to be financial. You can just fucking give them likes, shares, whatever the fuck. And if you got something that you are super passionate about, tell me about it, please. And I will talk about it. I might share it, whatever. Please, please, please share with me your passions, what you do, everything. I want to know about it. Just so I can fucking see it and enjoy myself and take my mind off of daily troubles and whatever else, much like we're all trying to figure out, everybody. Life, existence, death, you're gonna die, fucking do something about it. Maniac, the audio program, thank you guys so fucking much. Love you all. Take care. Peace out. Bye.